Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined by John Charlton. Coming up, we hear about Microsoft's plans to offer 3,000 apprenticeships over the next 3 years, and we look at the findings of the TUC's 7th annual pension survey of directors and the news that average pensions for UK company directors rose by almost a quarter last year. But first, the news. Local government workers have voted to accept the latest pay offer of up to 1.25% after months of negotiation. 89% of trade union Unison's members voted to accept the improved offer of 1% or 1.25% for the lowest paid workers, who earn up to £13,700. Librarians, social workers, refuge collectors and care staff in England, Wales and Northern Ireland are among the staff covered by the deal. The government has doubled the amount of time employers need to advertise skill jobs and Job Centre Plus before recruiting non-EU workers, from 2 to 4 weeks. But the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development called on employers not to fear the changes. A CIPD spokesman told Personnel Today, "They have tightened the criteria, but it won't have a major impact in the numbers coming into the UK to work. It's still a points-based system." Business Secretary Peter Mandelson has moved to quell fears of job losses at UK Vauxhall plants after they were taken over by Canadian firm Magna. Magna has bought the European operations of Vauxhall's owner General Motors, a move which has prompted fears of site closures among the workforce at factories at Luton and Ellesmere Port. Keep an eye on personneltoday.com for updates on these and other stories affecting the HR community, or go to our online forum HR Space to add your own thoughts. Personnel Today's Louisa Peacock spoke to Stephen Uden, Head of Skills and Economic Affairs at Microsoft, earlier this week about the company's new employability campaign.
The recovery, it was growing fairly well beforehand, and you know, IT can help efficiency and help productivity in so many sectors. So we work with 32,000 IT companies who use our technology in some way, and what we're doing is enabling them to access talent through rolling out a national apprenticeship scheme. We're taking people who are coming to us from Job Centre Plus, who are unemployed. They're doing government-funded training as technical support apprentices, and then they're getting real jobs in some of these Microsoft partners. What we're doing is interfacing between them, who are small businesses, and the skill system that they don't always know how to engage.
And so between the 32,000 partners, you'd have roughly 3,000 apprenticeships in place, hopefully.
Yeah, initially.
I mean, when would that be by?
Well, that's over the next couple of years. But actually, I think there's a huge opportunity here.
You are listening to the weekly podcast from personneltoday.com.
Unemployment's obviously rising to be quite a major national issue. It's close to 2.5 million now, and most commentators expected to rise north of 3 million at some point. So Microsoft's rolling its sleeves up and saying, what can we do as a business to through this program we're launching today called Britain Works, which is going to help 500,000 people back into work over the next 3 years through a series of partnerships with the public sector, private sector and the charity and NGO sector. There are three components. The first one of which is we're going to be providing a whole load of what we call skills for business, which are basically addressing the issue that there's about 10 million people in the country who have no computer skills at all, and they're effectively excluded from the job market because about 77% of all jobs today require the use of some form of digital technology, whether some sort of handheld device or computer or whatever. What we're doing is giving people the skills to enable them to address the jobs that are out there and able to fulfill those jobs, because otherwise they have very little chance in the current job market.
Okay, so this part of the campaign, let me make it clear, it's not that you're providing job opportunities or work experience, it's just the chance for people to brush up their skills so they can go for jobs in any sector.
Yeah. Giving them the ability to get the skills to get the jobs that are out there. Also, because so many jobs you have to apply for online these days. Backing that up then, there are some groups that we frankly don't have the experience of working with to be able to target and help directly, such as the unemployed, some of the so-called NEETs, the young people who are not in employment education and training. So what we're also doing is partnering with some charities who do have a lot of expertise in doing that. People like Leonard Cheshire Disability. And what we're doing is we're providing them a whole package of support to enable them to go out and reach those client groups themselves.
John, you're going to speak to us a little bit about the findings of the TUC's latest pension survey of directors.
Yes, Tara, this came out this morning and has become something of an annual event, as we can tell by the fact that this is the seventh such report. It states that UK company directors at the country's 103 largest companies can retire on an average of almost £250,000 per head per year. And of course, this being an average, this masks some quite amazing pension figures, I have to say. The TUC's seventh annual Pensions Watch survey found that the average pension pot of the directors surveyed was £3.4 million, and this would provide an annual pension of £247,785 a year. And the TUC said that some directors can look forward to an annual pension of over £1 million per year, which means, by my guesstimates, that they would have a pension pot worth £18 to £20 million. The TUC pointed out that the average director's pension is now 30 times the amount of the average workplace pension. With the Trade Union Congress annual conference coming up next week, of course, the TUC has been pumping out some research numbers in areas which are likely to set pulses racing in certain quarters. And on Wednesday, it published information on pensions in the public sector and said that the average public sector pension, that is one that is being drawn now by public sector workers who have retired, is £7,000, but most pensioners are picking up under £5,000. No doubt listeners will want to know who is the man, or I guess woman, except it isn't a woman, with the most valuable pension pot of all. Well, according to the TUC, it is a US-based director of the National Grid, one Bob Cattell, who has a pot worth £20.43 million. Coming a short head behind is Unilever director Patrick Sesko, who has a pot of £20.42 million. Now, this kind of puts in the shade the bête noire of the financial crisis, Sir Fred Goodwin, erstwhile Royal Bank of Scotland boss, whose pension pot was worth £16.63 million when he resigned last year. But I believe that Sir Fred has agreed to take a cut in his pension to assuage some of the ill will that was directed towards him.
Has the gap between director's pension and that of the average worker, has that widened since last year?
Well, it comes as no surprise to listeners to learn that, according to the TUC, it has. The TUC estimated last year that the gap was 25 times. So that means director's pension was worth 25 times more than the average workplace pension. The TUC says that the gap is now 30 times. And one can only imagine that the gap will keep rising, given the closure of the more valuable defined benefits schemes. And what one hears on the employment law grapevine is that more and more companies are putting in large sums of money into directors' pension pots. Often they define contributions. And interestingly, the TUC report said that the biggest lump sum paid out last year into a defined contribution account or money purchase scheme was £2.4 million, which went into the pot of Xstrata director Mick Davis, and that was 172% of his annual salary. So there's some mind-boggling sums here. Of course, we asked the TUC where they get these numbers from, and they say they're from publicly available company accounts and reports.
What has Brendan Barber had to say about this?
Of course, no surprise he's got on his high horse on this one. And he said the difference between directors' pensions and that of ordinary folk is, quote, nothing short of scandalous. He says that top bosses justify their pensions paying bonuses on the grounds that they are rewards for success, but the stock market nosedived in 2008, and yet the directors of these same companies have still managed to increase their pensions by over 20%. So no surprise, really. You wouldn't expect him to say anything else other than that. And of course, an interesting point is that over the past 9 months or so, the stock market has plummeted, even though it has risen recently. And of course, a lot of pension plans rely on stock market investments, and the fact that directors' pensions are still rising nonetheless is quite staggering.
Thank you, John. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk. That's hrspace.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.